and you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by WCF Insurance, reminding you to be careful out there on 97.5 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
For all the sickness to go gone, because I wanted to play with my friends.
Come on in, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is a Monday. Hope you are all well. Hey, buddy.
Man, Scotty, how are you?
I am great.
Well, I'm doing okay as well. After things finally went final in that Gonzaga-UCLA game. The problem was, like, I know where you and I know where our hearts were in that game. I just know where my money was with you as far as the gambling line that we set on Friday, the 6-1,
yeah,
in the Paradise bet. And I will tell you that my stomach was in my throat in the final parts of that game. This was as much fun in a Final Four, in an NCAA tournament. Saturday really was fun. I mean, the Baylor game got away from us, but
that was a game I thought was going to be great.
The Baylor-Houston?
I thought that Baylor-Houston game was going to be really good. And, I mean, I thought...
I was surprised how...
I thought Baylor was going to win the game, but I didn't... But I thought Houston put up a really good fight. I thought it'd be, 6-7-point game when it was all said and done. And Baylor just took him behind the whooping shed. And then I'm thinking, oh man, this stinks. We're gonna have two really bad games.
Yeah. Oh, I thought so too.
And that certainly was not the case.
Well, yeah, you and I thought on Friday we thought, well, if anything, this Baylor Houston game should be fun, but this Gonzaga UCLA game is not going to be a lot of fun. But it ended up being a blast. What a great weekend. How was Idaho?
Idaho was good. Got to go see the family a little bit. It had been a long time since we'd gotten everybody together, and you know, with the whole COVID thing, and everybody had gotten the shots and stuff, so we thought, let's sneak up there and
you and John,
let's
okay?
See the family.
Are you guys on talking terms?
Didn't talk a lot to John.
Lloyd, I actually asked him that. I called Scotty, or Scotty gave me a ring this morning, and we were going back and forth. I said, were you able to kind of chat it up with your brother? For those of you that don't know, John, Scotty's brother, joined us on the show.
Like, we don't need to reset this thing.
And Pitchfork Survivor, by the way.
Pitchfork Survivor. We had a blast with John. We're all big fan. But things were good in Idaho?
Yeah, things were really good. Yeah. And there were enough people there that John and I didn't have to chat with each other very much, which was good because he's not on my favorite person list.
He'll get back there. Give him a minute.
Yeah, maybe.
As soon as you need a little bit of dental work, he'll be back on
the
list.
No, that's true. Yeah.
He'll be back on the good list.
I got a cavity. I guess I got to make good with him.
And by the way, that familiar voice that everybody hears, that's actually Lloyd Cole.
Yeah, Lloyd's back.
That's our producer. And we've been without him.
This time, I'm back for good. I'm back for good.
The hardest thing about having you gone, Lloyd, is having Jay Catch and Austin Horton just cuss you up and down.
Oh, I believe it.
No, they didn't cuss you. They were happy to help.
They do a good job too,
and they were fantastic.
They did a great job. You go up to your palatial cabin for?
No, we didn't do that. There was something else that kind of came down, but things just happened. So we just.
I got caught. Yeah, and you were right in the midst of telling a story, and then DJ caught me, and I got caught up with DJ.
Yeah, I'll tell you that one offline.
That's not an on-the-air story?
No.
He had some troubles.
I don't really want to talk about it because there's a lot of a lot of moving parts with this is what's going on right now.
Gotcha.
So I had a little bit of troubles over the weekend.
Yeah, just a little bit. I had to deal with a boy that was very sad for a minute.
Well, let's just say this, and Scotty, I know you've had these weekends. Or, you know, if you're trying to take some time off and go do some things and have some fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes plans just don't go the way you think that it's going to go, especially when you're a father and you've got any type of home that you're trying to take care of and you've got a wife that, you know, she's got her plans and thoughts and ideas. Yeah. And sometimes weekends just or days off just don't go the way you think they're going to go. And to every man out there that has had to adjust on the fly, Lloyd, Scotty, and myself, we love you.
Yeah.
And we're there for you.
Yeah.
We know how you feel. Because I've had good plans on the week. Like this weekend, I had some really good plans. And it turned out to just be me painting where some people came in and redid some drywall. My buddy came in, he replaced some drywall, and I had to replace the baseboard and some of the flooring. And it just, instead of like the last weekend of ice fishing at Strawberry, just work.
Just work.
It happens.
Oh, man, that stinks, though.
It stinks, but it happens.
Yeah, you gotta do it. You gotta take care. You know what? Maybe it was just the way of saying, you know what? You need to get this stuff done. You need to get your patio set up. You need to hang around the house.
No,
you shouldn't be going anywhere. You should just stay put.
Yeah, but still, though, that puts you in a bad mood.
It puts you in a bad mood.
There's so many things you want to get done. So you didn't get on the ice?
No, didn't get on the ice
at all.
Nope. No, but and I know you've known me long enough that you can sense my attitude, and you could tell I've got a good attitude this week. Typically, when this happens to me, and I also got some bad news over the weekend that I shared with you. Like typically, bad news and not getting on the ice or having some time, it's just devastating to me. But I'm in a good mood, man, because I think we've got one of the biggest weeks of Jazz basketball, and I'm talking about an entire week of Jazz basketball. One of the biggest weeks we've had in probably since before the All-Star break. That week right before the All-Star break where they had some really upsetting losses. But it was a really good stretch of basketball. Well, tonight tips off a three-game stretch where I think Jazz fans, you better turn on the TV, you better get your popcorn, you better start watching this Jazz team because these next three games are going to tell us a little bit. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm excited for the week. Nothing could upset me, Scotty.
Let me see what I can do about
that. Lloyd, no.
I won't do it. You know what? When I was away for the weekend, I did a lot of soul searching.
Oh,
and
boy.
You know what? I'm going to try to be better about life. I'm being serious. Oh, don't laugh at me.
No,
I'm being serious.
I might laugh at you a little bit because I'm not buying this either.
What?
Stop.
Are you being serious right now?
I'm being serious. I am.
Okay, since we're sharing about seriousness and turning new leaves, I talked to Scotty about this because Scotty and I have this look in this moment of eating where Scotty will look at me and be like, hey, you want a sandwich? And I know exactly what that means. Like, that means extra mayo, and it means all the cheese you can pile on it, and all the way. Like, it's like
extra bacon.
Extra bacon. And it's like, oh, not only do I want a sandwich, but right now we are going to do. Or Scotty and I'll be over in Murray, and Scotty and I have a little place over there that is very near and dear to our heart. And Scotty will just look at me and say, hey, what do you think? And we go, well, I'm not fitting in my T-shirts, and the warm weather's come around, and I've got to peel a shirt and do some lawn care. And so these next 2 weeks, I'm hoping that watching what I eat doesn't turn into being angry hands. Because, Scotty, you've told me many times you don't like skinny hands.
Dieting hands is not fun hands.
A lot of people have told me that.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking is I'll just take the plunge, too.
And both of us
and
would
so
just
let's
be
just
angry.
Be angry at the same time.
Two-week plunge. 10-pound challenge.
All right. 10 pounds, 2 weeks.
Could you lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, easy.
Lloyd, could you lose 10 pounds?
So you guys are just going to be angry like at me like the whole time. This isn't going to be fun Titanic, for me.
It's not that hard. Hold on, Lloyd.
This doesn't sound like a good time for me at all.
Why don't you get in on this?
Yeah.
And we'll just 2 weeks, for the next 2 weeks, the three of us will just be angry and hate the world and put everybody in a bad mood in
the
midday.
There's going to be a lot of hurt feelings is what it's going to turn into. There's going to be a lot.
Well,
yeah, I don't know if we can handle that.
Could make for some good radio, though.
Angry radio might be some decent radio.
Might not have good relationships after this is over.
No.
So on 2 weeks, can we then hit the old paradise or
yeah.
No?
Yep.
Okay, so we just got to get two weeks.
2 weeks, 10 pounds down, and then we go have some fun.
And then put it right back on.
Then we go have some fun. One night in paradise.
How about this? 2 weeks, 10 pounds, and this has got to be an honor system too.
All right.
And then we do Wendover.
I like it. Lloyd, you in?
I'm in.
What, that like a Friday after
nice.
The show?
Yeah, Friday after the show, go out, play in a tournament.
That sounds real nice.
Grab a buffet.
Kill a few crabs.
There's a few crabs down there that need to be killed.
But I'm telling you, Scotty, if you ditch Hans and I for Ajay, we're done.
Stop this. See, this is what you like done. To do. What about on. This whole, like, I'm going to be in a better place.
I am.
I'm trying to be a better person.
I'm just saying. I want to let you know ahead of time. It's going to damage our
Ajay
relationship.
Is
we
a
will
radio,
not do this.
Ajay's the radio engineer for a broadcast. He has to come to some of these games sometimes.
But he's gone to all of them all the time.
Not so
Lloyd, not I don't them, get no. to
ever. You want to hey. Pack equipment and set up gear?
I'm yeah. just saying, we would have done it.
Hey, no, you wouldn't have.
Yes, we would have.
You've been like, It'd be like Hans in Nebraska, where he disappears for the four-hour
game.
Oh,
come on. I
Wow. Okay.
That's
this is already
7 years
apart.
Old. That's 7 years ago.
He did
ago.
Disappear. We had no idea where he went.
Don't try to defend me and then be like, oh, he did disappear.
I'm just saying, you guys would have disappeared on me.
Lloyd's like,
no,
hey, Scotty, calm down with that. That was a long time. But you did disappear. Don't do that. Don't do that.
He did. A little bit. We couldn't find him.
Hey, I'm in. Wendover in 2 weeks. Not this coming Friday, but the following Friday.
Okay.
After the show, because they kick off that tournament 8 o'clock on Friday evenings.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. We're in.
Let's go.
Should we hit this starter?
Let's do it. Starting lineup right now here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go.
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Dribbling to the right side, it's Juzang. 7 seconds to go. 6 seconds. Juzang in the paint. Fade away. No. Got his own rebound. Slithers to the rim and lays it in. 3 seconds to go. We're tied at 90. Here comes Suggs. Long three for the win. Banks at home. Banks at home. Jalen Suggs. A deep banked three to Sten Gonzaga. One step closer to history. Unbeaten Gonzaga comes up with the hero play of the year from the freshman, and they're one win away from an undefeated national championship. 93-90, Gonzaga and Baylor playing Monday night for the title, thanks to the star of the night, Jalen Suggs. Count the bucket. Ball game over. 93-90, Bulldogs win it.
Wow, what a moment. Pretty nice call there. At least
that was a great call. A lot better than the poor Gonzaga one.
At least the color analyst didn't step in on that one. What was that, Gonzaga? You sent that to me.
That was Adam Morrison, who, you know, was – where did he go in the draft? Jordan drafted him, two or three?
Early. Yeah. Yeah, it was in the top.
You know, great player for Gonzaga. They lost a heartbreaker to UCLA back in 2006, where he turned the ball over – and well, actually, it wasn't his turnover. He threw a bad pass, and then the guy turned it over, and UCLA lays it up and wins at the buzzer. I mean, it was a crazy game. And he's the guy that was crying on the court. I don't know if you've seen those pictures.
Yeah, I do remember the
images. And then he goes to the NBA, and he's a complete bust. Well, anyway, he's doing it. I didn't know he was doing the color analyst work on the Gonzaga broadcast. And, look, here's the thing. If you're doing color analyst work on a broadcast, chances are you've accomplished some good things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're either a coach, you're a player, and you put in a lot of work to be successful at that. But a lot of times that means that your path to the booth is a little bit easier than the path of the play-by-play guy who was, you know, not a player, mm-hmm. who was not a coach, and, you know, had to scratch and claw. So I'm going to be a little selfish here for a moment. Us play-by-play guys, you know, chances are we were the guys that were picked last but really love sports, and we want our one shining moment, right? And the guy sets it up beautifully. Like, he has set it up perfectly and hits the shot, and then Adam Morrison, and you can't hear the poor guy.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, this is my one moment. This is my one beautiful called moment that's going to live in history for Gonzaga basketball. And here's Adam Morrison. Oh, I'm like, let the guy talk, man. This is his moment. Let him do his thing.
I've had an opportunity to call a few games and a few big games.
Yes. You probably don't need headset. I just like to hear myself. Hey, look, God didn't give me a lot to work with, but he gave me a pretty good voice. So I'm going to listen to it.
I don't think that was the right time for that drop.
And and in that moment, because you do get pulled in as a color analyst, you get pulled into the moment.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And you're right. Like the only reason I'm in the booth as a color analyst is because I played professionally and
you know the game better than anybody else.
Done a radio show for a long time.
Yeah.
But there's been some intense moments in these bowl games, and you do get pulled into it. Like oh, but you have to tell yourself, first of all, nobody is tuning in to hear the color analyst go oh. They're tuning in because they want to know, well, wait a second. So the play-by-play guy just set this up and went crazy.
Yeah.
Now, the color analyst just needs to step in and say, after the set down, and say, what a beautiful moment. He saw what was happening in front and explain, not, oh!
It's Lloyd, like, I don't know if you got that call or not. I tweeted it out on Saturday night.
Just explain what everybody's going crazy about, because the play-by-play guy is just setting up the moment. You know, here comes the inbound. He steps past half court. He puts the shot up. Bang! He hits it, and then he kind of puts this long. And then it's like, in that moment, you saw UCLA went with a tight press, or Gonzaga went with a tight press. They brought everybody up to that half of the court. You know, whatever it was that you saw, not the,
Like, the call we just played, I think, is probably the Westwood One call. I think a color analyst, you get one good, like, one good, like, yell, right? Because I understand when you're on the mic and you see something like that, I'll give you one, like, whoa! And then after that,
I do
zip
get
it.
Caught in a moment like
that.
Sometimes.
And so that's fine. That I think that helps the moment. But after that, then it's zip it, let the guy finish the call, and then go into your description of it. I'll give you one, you know, crazy, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just saw that yell.
I want to hear this.
All right.
What is this?
This is the Gonzaga call. This is Adam Morrison losing his mind after that game, after that shot from Suggs.
To the right side of the floor, defended by Kispert now, drives, leans in, the runner comes up short, choosing the rebounds and puts it in. We're tied at 90, 3 seconds left. Here's Suggs the other way, pull up, three for the win!
Yes! Yes!
Sets the doors of the championship game! He knocked the ball from 40 at the buzzer!
Yes!
The Bulldogs!
Wow!
Play for a national championship!
You're right. The one yes. The one yes!
That's
and
great.
And then let it go.
Yeah.
And then come back and explain to me, well, what the heck did UCLA do to and what? How did Gonzaga get that shot off, and from what point on the court? And give me some detail. It banked in. Like, what? All the details of that moment. And then let the play-by-play guy, like, set up the back end of this. And we have our finals matchup and go down the line with it. It could have been a lot of fun, but he just went yes way too long.
I don't know. And there's a lot of guys that were tweeting at me like, hey, like, get off my lawn, play-by-play guy. Let the guy have some fun.
I'm sure people were upset.
And I totally get it. And he's got a history with UCLA too, and I totally understand that too. I'm just like, look. I'm just trying to stick up for the play-by-play guy. Like, he's not going to get a lot of these moments. Like, that's an iconic, once-in-a-lifetime shot that you get a call.
Did he say anything about it? Have you heard anything?
No, I have not heard anything. And I'm sure he won't, because us play-by-play guys, you know, always take the high road.
Well, I'm sure that he's talking to somebody saying, hey, is there any way we could get Adam the hell off this broadcast? Because that's absurd. It does sound like a recording from my living room, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not often that I talk Amanda in. My wife, my amazing wife, it's not often I talk her into watching a game with me. But she sat down and watched the second half of that Gonzaga-UCLA game. And I love when my wife gets pulled into like moments like that, because it's fun to watch somebody else enjoy a sports moment like that that typically doesn't enjoy sports moments. And when that shot went in, her and I just sat there and, what? Like, if we were on a broadcast, we would have probably upset the play-by-play.
Well, and we were all in so I had, you know, I'm up in Idaho, and we've probably had about 15 people in the room watching that game. Just because, you know, we're all sports fans, we're all basketball fans, we're all watching this game, and it just kind of coincided with everybody being there at the same time. And, I mean, the place just erupted, and it was really, really cool. I mean, it was a really fun thing to be a part of. And I'm sure that was the case everywhere. And then immediately after the game's over, Hans, everybody goes, is that the greatest game of it? You know, is that the greatest NCAA tournament game of all time? And look, there's been some really good games. The Villanova-North Carolina game. I mean, you can go down the list. There's lots and lots of great games. And so I don't know. Like, I'm not list radio guy where I'm like, hey, well, this isn't quite this game, but this game was better. But, this, you know, all I know is for 2 hours, I was entertained from beginning to end.
Sports heaven.
It was just sports heaven. Mm-hmm. And, look, I don't know if I've seen better games than that, but I'm having a hard time remembering games that I've enjoyed from the opening tip-off to the end of the game than I have that game. That was just a fantastic game to watch.
Well, there were so many things that added to the storyline where UCLA was just a play-in. They were a Final Four of the 68. They had to beat Michigan State just to get into the NCAA tournament. You know, and then the storyline of an 11-1 seed was really incredible. And everybody picked Gonzaga to beat UCLA, and not only beat them, but beat them soundly. And then the fact that it was an overtime game, you can add so many layers to what made this such an incredible, impactful sports moment. And I'm not the NCAA tournament historian that other people are. I don't have a lot of games that I think back on and I'm like, that was incredible. But, you know, when we're doing this show 10 years from now, I will reference that game as, yeah, that one was good, but that UCLA game in 2021 when they almost upset the best team in college basketball, maybe one of the best teams in college basketball history, an undefeated, whatever they were, 31-0 or whatever Gonzaga was at that point, to almost beat that team and do it as a play-in as the fourth last in. Like, it was an incredible storyline all the way around.
Well, and yeah, I mean, that to me is such a huge part of this. But honestly, when, you know, 15, 20 years from now, when ESPN does their 50 for 50, there's going to be a documentary about that game. I mean, there's going to be reunions of guys sitting around a table talking about that game. I mean, that's the kind of game that we will be talking about, that filmmakers will make documentaries about, that there'll be reunion shows talking about. And it's always fun when you see something like that, realizing that I'm going to probably tell my kid about that someday. You know, my 9-year-old, who's a sports nut, and he may forget watching that game, but I'll be like, hey, you remember you were there in their room watching that thing. And he's like, wow, I can't believe that game ended like that. Yep, it did.
You know, I was curious about this Indiana team, the last one that went undefeated all through the regular season, then all through the tournament back in 74, 75, whatever.
Yeah.
Was it 74?
74? Somewhere around there. It was mid-late 70s, yeah.
So I wanted to see the level of dominance that team had, just what type of run that they made. You know, they went into overtime twice. They had two overtime games in that tournament to get to the championship and win it and be undefeated throughout. So I'm sure, look, I can't reflect back to that time, but I'm sure somebody that's in their mid-60s or mid-70s would probably come on and say, well, obviously you guys didn't see that Indiana such-and-such game, because those were some incredible moments. Well, this is going to be comparable to that.
Yeah.
By the way, I wanted to ask you something that I was reading, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw one thing. It said that so you've got the national championship Indiana team that went undefeated all throughout 45 years ago and won the championship. But I also read another stat that this Gonzaga team is the first team to be in a championship game undefeated for 42 years.
Yeah, since that Indiana team, right?
3 years after. And that
Okay.
That might have been another Indiana team.
Oh, or I think it may have been the Houston team that lost. No, I don't know. Yeah, no, I think you're right.
But 42 years?
Yeah.
Because not having a team, an undefeated team, at least in the championship
game? Yeah, because UNLV was the one I would think, but they lost to Duke in the Final Four. And that was 91-92. They'd beaten Duke in the championship game by 30 the year before.
Yeah.
And then the next year they're undefeated and they're playing Duke in the Final Four, the semifinal game, and Duke pulls off the massive upset and knocks off UNLV. I remember watching
that. That was undefeated.
Game. Yeah, that was undefeated. I think that's the closest that I could think of. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy what Gonzaga can do. I mean, if they win this game tonight, they're right up there with one of the best teams in the history of the sport, just based on record.
Well, I believe it or not, I mean, I've got the Jazz-Dallas game as number one viewer tonight. Like, that's my game tonight. Because I don't think that Baylor-Gonzaga can hold a candle, not even a little bit of what that Gonzaga-UCLA game.
They kind of spoiled us a little bit on that, didn't they?
Like, I don't know. What could Baylor-Gonzaga do?
Double overtime? Three-quarter court shot to win it? I don't know.
I don't know. But even then, it's like it's two number one seeds.
Yeah.
UCLA, they had the attention of the country because of the of the number of games they'd reeled off, and they beat another one seed, right, to get there?
Did they beat a one seed?
Did they beat Michigan?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
I'm sorry.
I know, me too. Now I'm spacing it. Anyway.
Did UCLA beat a one seed to get to the Final Four? Was it Michigan? The path that they took is just remarkable. And the whole storyline with UCLA to get there, I don't know, 2-1 seeds? I know that they're the best teams in college basketball.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've got is you can say, I mean, you're not – I don't care what you do. You're not going to have that same drama that we had, you know, on Saturday night. But you are having the two best teams in college basketball play each other. So, all right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Speaking of the Jazz, we'll get to that. And make sure to get your foursome together and sign up for the Dyslexia Center of Utah Charity Golf Tournament.
Hey,
you know those guys. Join the fun May 13th at Cedar Hills Golf Course. 100% of the proceeds go to the Dyslexia Center Scholarship Fund. Space is limited. Find out more at dyslexiacenterofutah.org.
I'll be out there. I think you'll be out there. I think we're going to be broadcasting.
Are we doing the show out there?
Yeah.
Let's roll, baby.
This dyslexia tournament is big, and they missed it last year, Scotty, and the funds that came in from it the year before were so critical for that dyslexia center. But these people are the cutting edge, like the front leaders of battling against and helping with this dyslexia situation that we've got.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Kristen Kenny on The Big Show.
What is it that's different about Donovan this season as opposed to last season?
I think he's made a concerted effort to have better starts. He's talked about that. He always has been that guy that you can rely on down the stretch. You want that guy that can show up in those big moments and drain that crucial clutch three. But what about from the jump? He's made it a priority, and you see that point production double. And I think having more strong starts and consistent play through all four quarters, to me, that's the difference maker.
Catch The Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
And Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. What a night, by the way. And, you know, you got the Jazz with an earlier start.
Yeah.
Then you got a championship game.
5 o'clock tip for the Jazz.
Tomorrow we've got Brian and Bob kicking off Masters updates. We got a major pain in the butt coming up this weekend. Listeners, what are we giving away this year, Lloyd? Nice. Yep. You get a chance to win the same driver or the same brand of driver and type of driver that the champion uses.
You talked about it lined up. It lines up really nice. So the Jazz tip off at 5.
Yep.
And Baylor Gonzaga is scheduled to tip at 7:20, which means they'll tip about 7:35.
No, I think that 7:20 is going to be about right.
You think they'll hold it?
Yeah, I think it'll be about 7:20.
Because it felt like Saturday felt like it was backed up a bit with, I don't know, just the different ceremonies.
The first game?
No, the second.
Yeah.
Maybe because the first went long?
Maybe went a little long, yeah.
But 7:20, you got a 5 o'clock Jazz tip, then 7:20 you've got the national championship game. Your night is put together nicely for you if you're a sports fan. It should be a lot of fun.
And if the Jazz do what they did Saturday, which Dallas is playing pretty well, then you might be able to change it a little earlier if you'd like.
Yeah.
If you want. If the game starts.
They are destroying.
By the way, and I was like last night, I'm like, okay, you know what? When Orlando was up by 18 against Denver, I'm like, all right, maybe we can calm down on the Denver chat a little bit. And then Denver comes back and wins the game against Orlando. But Orlando gave them a hell of a battle, though.
You know who doesn't like the Suns? They don't stop winning. Like, they're just keeping pace.
Gave them a great bet. The Suns?
The Suns, yeah. Oh, they're just keeping pace.
They're like, just churning. Right,
yeah.
Both teams.
I sent out a tweet a little bit earlier today talking about the Utah Jazz performance against current playoff teams. And I don't know if what we currently see as playoff teams are going to be the playoff teams. Right now, Scotty, Golden State's out of the action. They've been bumped out of the action. Memphis is sitting in the eighth spot, so Memphis is currently listed as a playoff team. We'll see how this all works out. But as things stand right now, the Utah Jazz are 22-7 against playoff teams.
Hard to beat that.
3-0 against Memphis, 2-0 against Dallas, 1-0 against Portland, 1-0 against the Lakers. 2-0 against Charlotte, 2-0 against Boston, 2-0 against Atlanta, 2-0 against Milwaukee. So those teams haven't gotten a win against them. They're 1-1 against Denver, 2-1 against the Clippers, 0-1 against Phoenix. So yeah. I'm excited to watch that Phoenix matchup coming up.
Yep.
1-1 against Miami, 1-1 against New York. Remember, the one loss against New York was that weird...
Before things really got started. Yeah.
Weird two-game stretch. 1-1 against Brooklyn, the most recent being a dismantling, and Brooklyn didn't have anybody on the court. And then 1-1 against Philly. So they've got some good wins. They've got wins that look like they would be impressive, but Brooklyn didn't have anybody out there.
And they got two, you know, the two bad losses that I think of is when they got blown out against New York and against Brooklyn. In back-to-back games.
Early,
but that was before, I mean, this team was a 500 team at that point, before they caught fire.
Same with the Phoenix loss.
Yeah.
The 0-1 against the Suns, they haven't seen the Suns since that, whatever, third or fourth week.
Yeah.
Before they really started to figure things out. I know people are wondering if Phoenix is just a bad matchup. I don't think so. I think Phoenix is going to be a tough team. And, you know, Paul likes nothing more than to beat the Jazz, but I still think that they're going to be okay in that matchup.
By the way, you like how about this? And I saw this tweeted out by John Kiefer, and I don't know if he's just a fan or – oh, he's one of Locke's broadcast assistants. Probably should have knew that. Sorry about that. But anyway, he tweeted out longest winning streaks in the NBA this season. Are you ready for this?
Okay, yeah.
I'll start from the shortest or, you know, just shortest on the list to the longest. The Nets have won 8 in a row. Not currently, but throughout the course of the season.
At some point, yeah. These are just winning streaks through this season.
Yep. The Bucks have won 8 in a row. The Hawks have won 8 in a row. Then the Jazz had a 9-game winning streak. Then the Jazz are currently on a 10-game winning streak. And the Jazz have also had an 11-game winning streak. So the three longest winning streaks this year in the NBA are all owned by the Utah Jazz. 11, 10, and 9. All three different winning streaks. And that middle one, the 10th, is active. And could be 11 at the end of tonight.
Good. Should be. It should be. Have you heard anything on Porzingis? He did not play on Saturday night. But it was on the back end of a back-to-back. Look, this is what Dallas has gone through, Scotty. Dallas has been on the road 8 of the last 9 games. And they had just completed a 5-game road trip. So 8 of the last 9, just completed a 5-game straight road trip. Won 4 of those last 5. They started out that road trip against New Orleans, but won 4 of the last 5 of that road trip. And now they're finally coming back home to Dallas. They finished it up Saturday night with a win, and they finally came back home to Dallas. The final 2 games of that 5-game road trip were a back-to-back. They didn't play Porzingis in that final game. So I think they were they listed a knee injury. I didn't see anything significant. I never saw ESPN list it. I have not heard anything in detail. So my guess is they rested Porzingis on the back end of a back-to-back, gave him 2 days of rest before taking on the Jazz back at the – is it still the American Airlines Center?
I believe so.
In Dallas?
Yeah.
That's my take. Unless somebody has something different, I expect Porzingis to be on the court tonight.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
So Luka Doncic, Porzingis, this Dallas Maverick team is playing really well. Four games straight. I think that might be 4 games post trade deadline. I think so. They're playing well. They're playing really well, and they're finally back home. I don't know. You talk about some of the road game woes of coming back home.
Yeah, first game.
Is that only the Jazz or is that
no? Traditionally, and again, broad brushing here a little bit, but there are a few things that you look at that teams might not be particularly great at. It's the last game of a road trip and the first home game after a road trip. And sometimes those create some problems for you. Teams just aren't quite what they normally would be.
And I wonder if that's going to be the Mavericks. I don't know what to expect from them. I've got to imagine now that Porzingis is a little bit rested. They start a Boban against Washington, and they just beat the tar out of the Wizards. It's amazing to me that the Wizards are doing what they're doing. Which is just lose.
17-31 on the year.
Yeah, it's terrible. But Luka Doncic was 12 of 24, Scotty, 26 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. Boban pulled down 12 rebounds for him in the start. Every one of the starters was in double digits. And Brunson came off the bench, went 6 of 12 from the field, and ended up with 19 points. So Dallas has talent, and this is going to be a fun test tonight. But I think the Jazz should beat them.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, by the way, just for a second, just because I meant to bring this up last week, you're having another triple-double season from Russell Westbrook. 21 points. 10.5 assists, 10.4 rebounds. He's averaging another triple-double. You got Bradley Beal, who's averaging 31 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists a game Wizards.
How is that even possible?
And they are 14 games under 500. And it's not like these guys have been out. Both of them have played 41 out of the available 46 games that they played this year.
Yeah, and Beal's out just this most recent stretch.
Yeah.
He's only been out this last couple games.
So it's not like these guys are missing a ton of games. You got a guy that's averaging a triple-double, another guy that's averaging 31, 5, and 5, and they're 14 games under 500.
Like, you know how you were talking about
the East.
You know how you were talking about the Jazz winning streak? I bet the Washington Wizards own a couple of losing streak records.
Ooh. Yeah, let's see here. They've got here's a 7-game losing streak. They've currently lost 6 out of their last 8.
I know they started with a 5-game losing streak.
Yep. Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, they've had an ugly season. But you tell me, what do you expect from Dallas tonight?
I expect a really good game. I expect the Jazz to try to get they'll try to push the Jazz around a little bit. I know this is a – look, the Jazz MO is that if you get physical with them, they have some struggles. And I think that they'll try to get really physical with them. And, look, I love Luka's game. And it'll be fun to see what the Jazz do against him.
But I think that – like, I think about stars across the NBA – and I think about stars that have the Jazz on their crap list. Like, there are some stars that just have the Jazz on their crap list.
They want a piece of them.
They want a piece of them. And I don't feel like the Jazz are on Luka Doncic's crap list. I don't feel like Dallas is going to get overly physical with the Jazz, get pushy with them. And that's what makes me nervous about a team that's going to play against the Jazz is a team that really wants to get physical, gets nasty, has some type of axe to grind against them. Like, even when Miami beat them right before the All-Star game, like, I was there in this arena when the Jazz just dismantled Miami, made Jimmy Butler look ridiculous. And Butler showed up in that game right before the All-Star break wanting a piece of the Jazz. He wanted a piece of the Jazz. He wanted to embarrass them every way he could. And Miami got that 124-116 win. I don't feel that way about Dallas. Now, coming up on Wednesday, I do feel that way about Booker.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
I feel like, and then the following night, because it's the back end of back-to-back when they come back against Portland, I feel that way about Lillard. I feel like Lillard, and it's not that Lillard hates the Jazz. He loves this place. He loves Salt Lake. He loves Utah. He loved his time at Weber. I think it all means a lot to him. But I also think it's an emphasized game for him. Like, oh, I'm going back to Salt Lake City. I'm going to make sure that I put it on those guys.
Should be a fun one tonight. Game starts at 5 o'clock, pregame show at 4 right here on the Zone Sports Network. And, of course, we'll have your national championship game for you as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Craig Smith joining us, new hoops coach at Utah.
It's my job as the head coach to go out and create a brand of basketball that is exciting, that has high-level players and good quality. Of course, we're doing our best to build a team for this year to be competitive, but also build a program for the long haul. You know, it's been a whirlwind, and it's been fast and furious with doing whatever I can to promote this unbelievable program. We want to get the Ute basketball back where it belongs.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I got a great story to tell you during the next break.
Hey, I'm excited to hear it. Was it in reference to that conversation?
Yeah. I'll also say this. If you're a Utah State fan, I think you're going to want to be listening to the station here in the next that makes it sound like it's going to happen the next hour. I'd say you'll probably have a new basketball coach here in the next day or two.
Okay.
I would be surprised if I would think that it's probably going to leak out tomorrow. I would assume by Wednesday there'll be an official announcement. That's my guess, by the way. Just guessing.
Do you have any, like, are there any candidates, particular candidates that we may hear about, or
I don't know any.
Are there any names that may ring a bell or come to mind that maybe we might hear about in a day?
Can you give us any initials?
Why would you think that I would know? I don't.
I have no idea.
I think I've got a good feel for the timeline.
I get it. You're just a broadcaster, but.
Okay. Here's, this would be all I would say is that if there's one thing we've learned about John Hartwell, he keeps things very close to the vest.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't leak a lot of info, keeps a very tight circle around him as far as who he lets in, as far as names who he's talking to. And every time he's hired a coach, it's been surprising. And we hired Craig Smith. It's like, where did that come from? You know?
Yeah.
It's like,
comes out of the blue.
South Dakota?
Blake Anderson.
Blake Anderson. Did not see that one coming. So I would assume it would probably be very similar to one of those types of situations.
It's kind of a surprising hire.
Yep.
If you hear anything, you'll tell us, though, right?
Probably not. No.
Oh, okay.
There's a guy, Koepka. I can't stand that guy.
He's
back from his knee injury.
And now he's engaged.
He's engaged, and you could tell he's
talking about he's engaged to play or he's actually engaged?
Well, he's actually
married.
Oh, yeah, you weren't here. He
he's
got
both.
Engaged.
He's both.
Oh, wow.
Some, like, supermodel he got engaged to on, like, last week.
Huh, never would have thought that.
Yeah, surprising, huh?
Yeah, weird.
He may need to join the 10-pound challenge with us.
Oh, he's so boo.
Oh, no. What?
Okay, you're looking at his porch.
He's saying he's a. He's saying he's.
What are you doing?
Well, he's just not the Koepka we're used to.
Look, you know, you get engaged, you celebrate, you get a good meal or two.
Got a bum knee, step away
there
from working
go.
Out
yeah.
for a bit. Look, he's got all the excuses in the world.
So I think what you're saying is, when we do major pain in the butt, Brooks Koepka is not going to be high on your list.
No. Hey, I've got a lot of people telling me I'm getting really lame on Twitter. Like. Do you think have I been ultra lame on Twitter lately?
What did you do? Well, what was the turtle thing? I didn't quite understand what was going on there.
Oh, he's just that's a 192-year-old turtle. There was nothing there except for I just sent out. It's a picture of a turtle that's 192 years old.
How do they know how old the turtle is?
It's a documented turtle. What happened was there's only one known turtle that was older than this. And it was back in the 1700s, and it was a gift from a king to a king to a king.
Oh, okay.
And it was handed
like
down
turtles.
With royalty. But this turtle, this Jonathan the Amazing Turtle, is 192. It's been documented over the years how old he is. It is hard to keep track of him because people get sick of a turtle after, like, 5 years. They're like, oh, I kind of want this thing to go away.
Yeah,
trying
like,
to flush him after five, yeah.
Well, I just – and by the way, it's a big turtle.
Yeah, he's a big turtle. Big old tortoise. 192 years
old.
But,
like,
old.
You know, you don't, you know, I mean, you're big.
I like turtles.
I think you base your love of animals based on your ability to cuddle with them.
Yeah, I do like to cuddle with them. If I can't cuddle with them, then they better be kind of cool.
Yeah, like, okay, you like your snakes that would eat stuff.
Yeah, it's snakes that eat stuff.
But a turtle just sits there. Like,
except for when they get to 192. Then it's like, okay, that's a pretty cool turtle.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, now it's less active than it already was, which I can't imagine it was very active.
Yeah, he's not very active. But he did live through multiple wars.
Well, it's not like he was fighting in Nam. Like, it wasn't hard for a turtle to live through a war because it's not like he's, you know, fighting or anything.
How cool would that be, though? He'd have his own little protection. He could just suck back into his shell, take some bullets, then come back out and bite people. He's not a snapping turtle, though.
I think it's
he doesn't have a lot of biting power.
I think you've got a Marvel superhero on your hands in development there.
He just eats lettuce. He loves lettuce. But I sent a tweet on this bulldog that runs around knocking down trash cans.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, okay, so I put he's dealing with CTE. Cat treatment envy. And people are like, that's so dumb. That's not that dumb. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that actually is pretty funny.
That's pretty funny.
That is.
And then
maybe just send out the video without adding commentary.
And then I had a guy, because I put out this list of teams that the Jazz have beat.
Yeah.
And I had a guy who's a Suns fan, obviously. He said, yeah, you just wait. The Suns, S-U-N-S, gonna sun, S-O-N, them again. That's what he said. The Suns are going to sun him again. And I replied back, and I said, they'll have sunscreen on, S-O-N screen on that day.
That's good.
That's a good response to a really crappy response that you got.
Yeah.
So you took his
well done
garbage take and you spun it right back on him. And I like that. I out of all the turtle and the bulldog, and that's your best work right there.
Well, he says I'm dumb. Whatever.
You're dumb.
Yeah, you're dumb, fella.
Whatever your name is.
Come harder than that, bud.
Yes. Is that all you've got?
Son him again. Whatever.
All right, what you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. We were talking a little bit about last night where Denver was looking like they were getting run out of the building by Orlando after Orlando just got dump trucked by the Jazz. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Denver woke up and boom.
Here comes Jokic.
Put him away in the second half. Jokic, I think, what do you have, like 16 assists last night?
Yeah, 17, I think.
17? Jeez.
And I don't know how many went to Gordon, but Aaron Gordon had, what, 20-some-odd points, 28 or so points. He had a really, really nice night. Obviously, wanting to put it up against Orlando would be my guess. At some point, he was probably a little bit embarrassed in that game. But how do you even get 17 assists? When's the last time you saw 17 assists?
Not very often, and let alone from your big man, too. It's pretty crazy what he's doing right now.
I'm going to just pull this up because I want to make sure. That number does not sound right to me. But I was gazing through numbers this morning. Yeah. What?
Stop it, Lloyd. Jeez,
nope,
man.
Nope, you're right. 16. It's 17 points, 16 assists. Okay. Yeah, you're right. How do you even get 16 assists? Wait, what? I don't.
Don't.
Do I not address what he just said?
Nope. Just let that one go.
Porter Jr. pulled down 12 rebounds and Aaron Gordon 24 points. 10 of 13 from the field. Most of his stuff is at the rim. 7 rebounds. Yeah, Denver's good. Got a 10-point win. But all that does is builds up for what I think is going to be. At some point, I think that the Jazz and Denver are going to see each other.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Take a quick break, come back, and the man himself, you know him, you love him, you wish you were him, Tim Lacombe, will join us next right here on The Zone Sports Network.